Another quality that I think attracts people to Buddhism is that we're encouraged to practice it. Okay? It's not just something we believe, it's not just something that we study, but it's something we practice. And our faith comes through our practice. Okay? And I know for me, this was one of the things that really struck home. You know, when I first heard Buddhist teachings and I learned meditation, when I went home, I started to, you know, try meditating. And I developed a daily practice. And I saw that a transformation began to occur. Okay. Now, it didn't happen quickly. It wasn't like, you know, you practice meditation one day and, you know, boing, there you are the next day. But I really began to see that if I put the teachings to practice, it began to help me. And in particular, the teachings about how to work with anger. I find them very, very effective. Yeah. Because we all get angry. And we can't just sit there and say, you know, oh, I shouldn't be angry and stuff our anger down, because that just, you know, causes ulcers. And after a while, the tension inside gets so bad that then we explode everywhere. Okay? But rather, Buddhism teaches ways to actually work with our anger so that we see the situation in a different way, and then the anger dissolves by itself. And I found that when I began to practice these teachings over time, and time is the real key here, you know, we really have to do it again and again and again and again. But I found that when I did, that then there started to be a change in my heart and in my mind. Okay? So the thing is that our faith is very much dependent on our experiencing and experimenting with the teachings ourselves and seeing through our own experience that they bring the results that they say they're going to bring. Okay? So that emphasis on our own experience, the emphasis on integrating the teachings in our own life, is something that really draws people to Buddhism. And many people, you know, what I really see in the places that I go to teach is that people are not looking for something outside to believe in. Okay? They aren't looking for a religion or a dogma out there that tells them how to behave or what to believe. But people are looking for a spiritual practice that helps them get to know themselves. Okay, do you see the difference? Do you get the difference here? Because you can have a system that is imposed upon us from outside, or we can have a system in which we think about things and develop conviction from the inside and have our belief based on our own experience. And so, for example, in Buddhism, when we talk about morality or ethical discipline, you know, we have the, for example, the five lay precepts, you know, to avoid killing, stealing, unwise sexual behavior, lying, and intoxicants, that these five precepts are not things that the Buddha said, thou shalt not do, or else. Okay, but rather, the Buddha said, look at your own lives and see what happens when you do these five. What happens when you kill? You know, what happens when you steal? What happens when you have extramarital affairs? What happens when you cheat in your business? What happens when you are drinking alcohol or taking recreational drugs? You know, look at your own experience and see how these behaviors interfere with your own happiness and interfere with the happiness of the people who you care about, the people around you. And so, because in Buddhist practice we're encouraged to do that internal work and see from our own experience, oh gee, it's true, you know, when I lie about something, I might get some immediate benefit, but afterwards I don't feel very good about myself. And then you know, because I'm pretty worried about somebody finding out that I was cheating and lying. And afterwards, somebody usually does find out, and then I'm really in hot water, you know. And so we begin to see from our own experience that these actions cause difficulties, and so we undertake by voluntary choice not to engage in them. Okay? So in Buddhist practice, you know, ethical discipline is not commandments coming from outside. Yeah, but it's things that we examine in our own life and see with our own wisdom, through our own experience, that we don't want to do these actions because they cause pain and disaster to ourselves and others. So it's coming, ethics, morality, and Buddhism is coming from a deep wish inside of ourselves to live a better life. You know, we're not being ethical people because we're afraid of getting punished. Or, you know, we're afraid of, yes, something, you know, going to hell or whatever. But it's because we see with our own life and our own experience what the results of our actions are. And so we decide with clarity and with wisdom that we're going to train ourselves to abandon those actions. Okay, so that's a slightly, well, not slightly, it's a big difference in approach. But I think it's something that is very suitable for people nowadays because, again, it's directed towards people who want to think, who want to examine, who have an education and, you know, aren't just willing to accept on blind belief. Another quality of Buddhism, or Buddhist teachings, is that they show a way for internal peace. Okay? So they're teaching us how to be peaceful within ourselves. They're teaching us how to become our own friends, how to relate to ourselves, how to be kind to ourselves. The Buddhist teachings are showing us how to create the causes for happiness. You know, so it's very much the emphasis is on a method to create internal peace. Yeah, the idea being that when you have a group of people, each one of which has subdued their own mind and is internally peaceful, then you're going to have a peaceful society. Because we can see that peace in society is not something that can be legislated. Okay? Sure, laws are necessary and they're very good guidelines, but we can make all the laws that we want to, but it doesn't necessarily mean that society is going to live peacefully. Okay? The UN can make many rules, but it doesn't necessarily mean people are going to follow them, their nations are going to follow them. So in Buddhism, we're saying rather than try and impose, on society different rules and regulations, you know, you have rules and regulations because they're necessary, but the real way to have a peaceful society is for each individual to subdue their own mind, okay? And we can see, you know, if Hitler had a subdued mind, the world would have been a lot different. Okay? And we can see that. If Mao Zedong had had a subdued mind, a lot of people wouldn't have gotten killed. So same way with us, you know, our contribution to world peace is to transform our own mind, subdue our own mind, you know, restrain ourselves from acting out of anger, and then transform the anger through practicing patience. Okay, so the Buddha's teachings really show a method to practice to bring about that internal peace. So we work as Buddhists for world peace, but we do it not just from the top down, imposing structures on people, but also, you know, we respect laws and everything, but we create world peace on the grassroots level by trying to help each individual be at peace within themselves. And we can see the value of internal peace, because if you think about it, Have you ever had a situation where you've been in a totally fantastic place and with wonderful people around you, and you've been miserable? Have you ever had that happen? You know, you're sick, or you're discouraged, or you're depressed about something, or your own mind is unhappy, and even though, you know, you're eating great food and you're with people you really care about, your mind's not peaceful, your mind's tormented. So that goes to show that just improving the external things, you know, that can't create ultimate happiness. That real happiness has to come through internal transformation. The idea being that when we've created a kind heart, when we've subdued our tendencies towards spite or aggression or vengeance, when we've subdued that, then we're more peaceful inside, and then wherever we go and whoever we're with, we can be happy. And if you think about that, isn't that a wonderful quality, you know, to wherever you go, have a happy mind? You know, so that even you go somewhere, somebody criticizes you, you're okay about it. Or you go somewhere and things don't turn out the way you want them to, but you're okay about it. So in Buddhism, you know, this emphasis on internal peace, I think, is very valuable, because it means that then we have control over our own experience, and we have responsibility for our experience. So if we want to be happy, rather than complain about other people, and that they should do more to make us happy, you know, when we're practicing the Dharma, we realize that we have to create a happy mind inside. And if we can create a happy mind inside, then wherever we go, whoever we're with, we're happy. And I think that's an incredible gift. You know? And you see that in people who have gone through tremendous amount of suffering. You know, they've had very bad diseases, or they've been refugees, or, you know, who knows what's happened to them. But when you meet them and you talk to them, they're pleasant people, they're calm people, they're happy people. They don't even suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome. You know? Now, why is that? Why do we see that in some people? I think that's because of their own internal development, because of their own spiritual practice. So the whole idea is, you know, create internal peace. And then, if we encounter some misfortune in our life, we'll be able to handle it. We're not going to get bent out of shape. We're not going to get overwhelmed by it. You know, we'll be able to remain calm and focused. We'll be able to have a sense of purpose and meaning in our lives, no matter what the situation is around us. And I think that's a tremendous gift, especially considering, you know, the instability in the world today. And along that line of, you know, creating internal peace, one thing that I think is very attractive about Buddhism is that there's a step-by-step method on how to work with our mind, how to open our heart. Yeah. So, for example, I knew when I was a kid, and you probably had the same experience, you hear lots of people say, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, love everybody the way you love yourself. It sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah. Do you know anybody who does? Yeah. Do you know anybody who loves others the same way that they love themselves? Well, as a child, I didn't. I was looking around, and even the people who were preaching, love thy neighbor as thyself, they certainly weren't practicing it. And from my side, I didn't know, well, how do you do that? Because as a child, I was looking around, and some of the things people did seemed pretty dumb, you know, or some people seemed really mean. So how am I supposed to love them? How am I supposed to respect them? And so it was something that was very confusing for me, because I could see the value of loving others and respecting others, but I couldn't see a method to do it. Okay. And this is one thing that I know I really found in the Buddhist teachings, is that there is a step-by-step method laid out to help us really open our hearts and respect and love others. And not just love our family, I mean, that's relatively easy, but also to respect strangers, to respect the other people in society who we don't know, yet we live in the same city or the same country, the same planet. You know, a method where we can even learn to have love, in other words, to wish happiness, even for the people who have harmed us. Imagine that, you know. So instead of holding a mind full of revenge, you know, with the grudges that wants to retaliate and get even, you know, there's an actual method for how to let go of our anger, how to forgive, you know, without being weak, without being taken advantage of, and yet still have respect and concern for others. And so I found this very, very wonderful in Buddhist teachings when I found the step-by-step method. Because, you know, it isn't just, you know, love other people. I mean, I can't make myself love somebody. Can you? You know, can you make yourself love somebody? I can, you know. But if there's a way to train my mind, you know, where first you think about, you know, the fact that everybody wants happiness and nobody wants to suffer. Oh, you know, that helps us let go of some of our prejudice against others because we see that on a basic human level, we're all the same. Some people find happiness from one thing, some people may suffer from another, but the basic human condition of wanting happiness and not wanting suffering, we all share equally. Okay. And so just, you know, familiarizing our mind with that, meditating on that a great deal, can cut down a lot of prejudice, a lot of violence, a lot of bias that our mind creates in relationship to other people. You know, then from there, you know, the Buddha taught that you consider the kindness that you've received from others and the things that other people have done to benefit us. So we think not only of the kindness of our friends and relatives, but we think of the kindness of the other people in society. You know, like the people who built this theater. Yeah, I don't know who built this theater, but I'm benefiting from all their labor. Yeah. And so then that makes me react towards strangers in a totally different way because, oh, maybe these people that I'm walking by on the streets, they're the people who built this theater and I, you know, benefit from coming to this theater. Yeah. Or, you know, who made our clothes? We don't know who did that. Yeah. But we benefit from what those people did. And so, you know, those people are strangers. So then when we see strangers, we recognize, wow, you know, these people are doing jobs in society that we've benefited from. And so whether we know them personally, whether they know, we know exactly what job they do, we can still respect them. We can still want them to be happy because we realize that we're all interconnected. Yeah, and that we've benefited from their jobs, their work in society. So this is just a little taste of, you know, the kind of way that the Buddha recommended for us to train our mind to develop respect and love for others. And because it's a systematic approach, when we do it, you know, and we create the causes, then we get the results. You know, and it's there for us to taste and to see for ourselves. You know, we practice and then we see for ourselves if it works. Okay, but you know, I was very relieved to find an actual method to practice for how to develop love and respect. I think that's very, very valuable. And this is a method that goes beyond religion. You know, when we talk about it, we don't talk about, you know, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, any kind of religious terms. It's just basic kind of common sense that somehow we've never been aware of. Yes, everybody wants happiness and wants to be free of suffering. Yes, you know, I depend on the efforts and labors of countless beings throughout this planet just to stay alive. Okay, so therefore, I want these beings to be well and happy. You know, I'm in debt to them for what they've done through their works and their jobs and everything. You know, I'm not an independent entity who can go through the world demanding that everybody does things my way, you know, because I've received the kindness of so many people, so I want to respect them. Okay? So this step-by-step method is really quite wonderful. Similarly, in the wisdom teachings, you know, how to recognize the nature of reality, the Buddha taught a step-by-step method on how to analyze, you know, the nature of reality, how to analyze whether the way things appear to us is indeed the way they exist. Also, in terms of developing concentration, the Buddha taught a very specific method. You know, first you do this, then you do this, then you do this, and then that way you can learn to concentrate your mind. So things are laid out in a very clear way in the Buddhist teachings. And so it becomes much, you know, when you have studied with a teacher who knows how to lay things out for you, then it becomes much easier to know how things fit together and how to develop your mind.